listeners. This is Abir Sichter. On this episode of Local Global Leaders, titled Behind the Scenes, I spoke with Sally Hamilton, the Chief Administrative Officer of Lexington, Kentucky. Sally talked about her work across various levels of government and how her current role was actually something that was supposed to be temporary but became something permanent because of the amazing work and dedication from her. And she also talked about how she oversees so many diverse aspects of our robust local government. I want to note that in some parts of the recording, mostly at the end, but a little bit throughout the episode, you can hear some background voices and some noises too. Sally's office is just a pretty busy place, so that's what some of that was. Hope you enjoy listening. I'm here today in the office of the Chief Administrative Officer of Lexington, Sally Hamilton. CAO Hamilton, thank you so much for having me today and for the interview.
Glad for the that you're here.
Yeah. Thank you. I heard so many great things, actually. I was at WKY, the station, earlier, and I mentioned to mutual friend, I think you know, DeBron Thomas.
Oh, yes.
Mentioned him, going to interview her, and he was really excited to hear that.
So. Oh, well, that's so nice. We dealt together on the statues in front of the courthouse.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, but he was like, yeah, he's like, you're tough, you're amazing, like, you don't take any crap from anyone, so it's great. But yeah, but it was great to hear.
He didn't say I was real sweet.
He's a big fan of everyone else. When they heard I was interviewing you, they were like, had a lot of respect and really excited.
Oh, well, that's very nice. Thank you.
They'll be really excited to hear this episode. But yeah, thank you again for taking the time. And just want to start off in hearing from you. We want to know who Sally Hamilton is and how you became a leader. So how would you like to introduce yourself to our listeners?
Okay. Well, it's really quite strange. I went to school and got a PhD in German. And immediately tried to get a job, and that was the time when liberal arts was just crashed totally. And so I got a job with the state, and a Department for Local Government. And I, of course, planned to be there just a little while until I got a teaching job. Well, 35 years later, I was still there and retired from the state government. And in state government, I worked in various places. I worked in the Department for Local Government and did the Community Development Block Grant Program. Mm-hmm. And then I worked in the Department of Education, and then I was Deputy Secretary at Finance, and then worked 12 years at Kentucky Educational Television.
Oh, wow.
So which was quite different from what I had done in most of my state jobs. And then I retired and then went to Florida, stayed a month. Thought, I don't like this. And so I came back. Kurt Llewellyn, who was the state auditor, had called me in the meantime, and I went back and worked 4 years there. And then I came over here, and I had worked with Jim. That's when Jim Gray was mayor. And I had worked with Jim before in the state in various boards he was on or so. So I'd worked with him there. So I came over here and became Commissioner of General Services, and that does parks and all the buildings and things. And so I was there for, that was at the end, I think, of 11. And I was there in that position for about a year, and then they asked me if I would just temporarily be the Chief Administrative Officer. And I said, yeah, I'll temporarily do it, but I didn't come to do that. You know, this is retirement job, and I didn't come quite to get into that. Well, that was at the beginning of 13 and still here.
Oh, wow.
So so that's sort of the history of what I've done. So I've been mostly, I've been all government and state government and then local government.
Yes, yeah, it's great to have the balance of both. Yeah, like the big picture state stuff and the local stuff.
Yeah.
How does your background in different local government and state government positions, how does that journey inform your current work now with CAO?
Well, it's they're really very different. I mean, they're both bureaucracies, you know. Of course, the state is a huge bureaucracy. And then the local government is really, I think, a little bit more interesting because the people are just right there in front of you. You know, at the state, you're sort of doing policy for, if you're in particular jobs, for people you just never see. And, of course, that's different in the governor's office or so there. But this is real hands-on. And also, even though you did, you had the Kentucky State Legislature, when I was over there, I guess only at the end of my career were they meeting annually. They only met every 2 years. Well, we have a council, and the council meets every week in work session, and then two times a month for their council meeting at night on Thursday nights. So it's entirely different. This is much more hands-on, mm-hmm. sort of, you really see when somebody calls, you too are driving over that pothole. You know, it's not something down in Western Kentucky that you never see.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the big difference. But that government experience here, how it translated here, is it taught me, because I've worked in big agencies, it taught me how to maneuver with different issues and who I had to talk to and how many people I had to talk to. And also my experience in working with cabinet secretaries and legislators helped me with the council. Because mm-hmm. I truly believe in there's two parts of government. One of them is the executive and the other is the legislative. You know, and together they make better rules than if one just does it.
Mm. So yeah, it really helped you figure out like how to collaborate across like different yeah. branches, different
yeah.
agencies.
And it's exactly right. It was entirely different, but the experience was really helped me mm-hmm. on the two. And it's really amazing because my educational background sort of helped me. Never did I think it would ever. When I had my first job, I remember I was interviewed and somebody said, well, maybe we'll have somebody that speaks German in Eastern Kentucky or something. You know, they were just. But writing that dissertation and having to organize all those thoughts and mm-hmm. having to defend it in front of a board really was very, very good experience. Oh. It was experience that I have really used in different ways over and over again. And I remember my dissertation director told me, he said, don't make this the grand piece of your life. Get it done and move on to do what you really want to do. And I think that applies to just a lot of things.
Oh, wow.
You know, you can't just get stuck in the mud. You got to move.
Yeah. That sounds like, yeah, you've been very active in everything you're doing. Like you came to all these temporary roles that became uh-huh. long term.
Yeah. And that was hard when I first made that move, because when I was first working with the Department for Local Government and doing Community Development Block Grant, I knew everything about it. Hmm. So when I moved to be Deputy Secretary of Finance, I didn't know about that. It made, you know, it really, all those areas, it made me real nervous. Like I didn't have that strong background, knowing I knew more than everybody else knew. And that boss told me, and I thought it was really good, he said, I didn't hire you to know what these other commissioners did and do. I got them. I hired you to get them the right tools mm-hmm. to do their job and to coordinate all this, not know it all. Mm-hmm. And I've stuck with that my whole career, and it served me well.
That's amazing you're able to use that. And I'm curious, what was your dissertation in? What was the focus of it?
Irony in an Austrian playwright.
Oh, wow.
God, it was 100 years ago. But it really, as I said, it really helped me, because it helps me focus. I learned how to focus.
Mm-hmm. And how would you, with your current role as chief administrative officer, I don't think, you know, every city has that role. Like, how would you describe that role to our listeners?
That role, it's not a city manager, because okay, we're not a city manager form of government. There are certain cities that are, mm-hmm. and when you have a city manager, that person is really, the mayor is a figurehead, and the city manager is who really does everything. I mean, legally does everything. Here, the chief administrative officer is the person, the mayor has the authority, the administrative, executive authority. Of course, the council has all the legislative authority. But the chief administrative officer is sort of like the herder.
Hmm.
All the commissioners report to me and my deputy. And so I get all their direct reports. And my job is to sort of coordinate all that we all stay on the same path and that nobody gets surprised. The mayor doesn't get surprised and the council doesn't get surprised. And sometimes there's surprises. but I'm really the coordinator. The buck sort of administratively stops here.
Okay. And what you know, you've talked about this a little bit already, what motivates you to be a leader here in your community, here in Lexington?
Well, I think Lexington is just a super place to live. And I think it's had good leadership through the years. I like its form of government. I think it's good to have, we have a strong council and a strong mayor. I think that is really good. And Lexington, you know, Lexington is just sort of a special place. It's that right spot. It's that 300 plus thousand people. It's not too big, but it's not rural by any means. And you sort of get the best of both possible worlds here in Lexington. And you know, Lexington expects a lot from their government, and we get all kinds of comments, you know, good, bad, but we get a lot of comments, and it's good when you can address those comments and really see what you're doing. We went out to Cardinal Valley, and we did a ARPA project out there. And it was so rewarding. And I think that's one of the best things about this job. It was so rewarding to see it. This is like a little community center, and we have added on to it and redone it. It was just in horrible shape. And so it really is going to be something wonderful for that whole community there. And, you know, and now we're doing this another senior and therapeutic center out at Shillitoe.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's things like that that you really can see and touch that motivate you.
Yeah, I see that, like, I mean, all the time in the news, or I'll just see it when I'm driving around. Like the city's constantly developing, like we're just doing so many new things.
Yeah, and they opened, they cut the ribbon. I didn't go this morning because I had to, another thing I had to do. But over at that Workforce Center over in Davis Park, they did all that this morning. And, you know, just a lot of good projects.
Yeah. A lot of great things happening here. It sounds like, a lot of successes and a lot of big things happening. But with that, like, what are the biggest struggles you've encountered in your leadership journey?
Well, I think that part of them are, first of all, we get tremendous amount of complaints and problems with traffic.
Mm.
Traffic is the thing that people just unnerves them. You know, and I understand that. And, you know, when I have to drive out to the south side and back and forth, when I think, oh, my heavens, I don't remember it being this bad. I think what we've really gotten into is all of our successes have also led to this traffic.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's not half as bad as when you go into one of these big cities and you really see what grit is like.
Yeah.
And then again, we have areas where one of our big problems is trying to address this homeless issue. And Tuesday, we did a report on our homeless. And it, of course, says you are way off on, you need another shelter, you know, and that is going to be awfully hard to locate. You know, everybody sort of, nobody wants it in their backyard.
Yeah.
And so that's going to be our big, big issue coming up. And then our other thing that we're trying to do, and I'm just talking about things that are hard to do, is this whole government center. You know, we have tried to do a government center, I don't know how many times. I bet you 6 or 7 times since I've been here. And we're close this time. You know, we looked at the, when we did our RFP, a request for proposals, we selected to negotiate with. We certainly don't have a deal, but the Webb's Truist building up here on Vine. Mm. It's the one with the gold on it. And so we're trying to reach a deal on that. So those are really big things that are hard to do.
Yeah. Like I said, there's, like, even with all the success, like, that traffic grows, like, I mean, homelessness happens, like, It comes with the success too, right?
Oh, yeah. The homeless issue is very, very big,
mm-hmm.
and you know, you just where we really need it. And what the report said is we need a shelter for the low barrier shelter, and the low barrier shelter means that anybody can come in.
Okay.
Alcohol, drugs, anybody can come in. Because a lot of these shelters that are existing right now have rules. You can't come in if you're, you know, on drugs. You can't come in here if you're alcohol, you know, if you're inebriated. You can't do da-da-da. Well, the problem is then all those people are out on the street in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
So it's real, you can see how it's difficult.
Yeah, definitely. In addition to those struggles you've encountered, have you ever had any examples or experiences of toxic leadership you've experienced, and how have you learned from those?
You know, I have not had. Okay. I have not had any. It's just amazing. I was thinking the other day, this is my 50th year. I started in 1975. Somebody said, why don't you retire? I said, well, I like it. I'm in good health, and I feel like I still can contribute. And when I don't, you know, I'll retire. I have had the most wonderful experiences. I've always had good bosses. I've been involved with people that were not toxic, that always were lived like everybody else. Some are better than others, but they all tried. Mm-hmm. And I really haven't had any really toxic experiences. Isn't that amazing? 50 years.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I really haven't.
That's good.
And I've enjoyed working with the councils, with the various councils, with the mayors. I've worked with two mayors here and numerous governors, and none of it was a toxic experience.
It sounds like, yeah, a good testament to the government branches and agencies you've worked for, and of course to our local government, right?
Yeah, and you know, some things are more fun. And but I always sort of ran by the thing of like when I worked in state government, most of my years in state government were when there wasn't a succession. So it was 4 years and then you were out as far as the governor was concerned. So, I mean, I learned all those lessons very early of be just as nice when they're leaving on their way out because they could be back. And I don't know how many people that I would see as administrations left, they would, you know, they would go, and then the next administration would bring them back in. So, you know, and I always knew you better be nice because they're going to remember who was and who wasn't. Mm-hmm. And so it's just, that's just sort of the realm that I was in.
That's awesome. And with, you know, you mentioned Lexington being such a unique city, I find it interesting the nonpartisan nature of our elected officials, like, you know, don't have to put a D or a R by our name. Does that help you with helping run the city? Like, are you able to avoid
politics? I think so. And that's really, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that is absolutely something so unique. Mm-hmm. And because they really, I mean, it does not get political. Now, they form alliances on, the council forms alliances on particular issues, but it's not because something is a Republican or a Democratic issue. And the mayor, and, you know, the mayor never talks about politics. It is the most, and that's a, I'm so glad you mentioned, because that's such a difference between what the state was, what the state is, and what here is, because the state is political. And I don't mean political in a bad sense, like it was not stuff given away because you're a Democrat or a Republican. It's just different. You know who is a Democrat, and you know who is a Republican. Here, I couldn't tell you who is a registered anything, but I could tell you who would support, who is prone to support more liberal causes than others. But, and that coalition on the council switches all the time. Just depends on the issue, not politics. In this job, I have never experienced any political pressure of we need to do so-and-so because so-and-so gave to so-and-so's campaign or anything. Mm-hmm. Never.
So do you think that would perhaps be a good model, it sounds like, for other cities and towns to consider, right?
I think it is. Now, I think the fact that it's nonpartisan really makes a lot of difference. It lets you concentrate and argue over issues rather than anything else. Mm-hmm. But I think the legislature this year insisted that Louisville go to a nonpartisan. How was it partisan? Anyway, whatever which they were instructed to switch, and I can't remember which way that goes. But anyway, this has been very successful.
How do you successfully balance, like, the diverse portfolios and divisions you have to manage, from, like, I mean, communications to human resources to inclusion? Like, how do you work on those, like, just different areas?
Well, what we do is I meet personally with us, with the directors, the commissioners, with the commissioners once a week. And what I do, this is the kind of thing. So we were meeting today with Nancy Albright. And Nancy Albright is our commissioner of environmental quality in public works. And this takes in a mountain of stuff. You know, she's got streets and roads. She's got waste. She's got the environment. She's got building inspection. Just all those real trigger points. And so we go down the list with her to see what she's got, what she has got going this particular week.
Okay.
And where there is a problem. And like here, it says Maxwell Street sign says it's closed, but it's been open all week. So why isn't somebody taking that sign down? You know, it's just, they're much larger issues than that. But it comes down to just every one of those. We don't go like all the departments underneath her. She gives us the summary of everything. But that's what we do every week. So I just got off of Zoom with finance.
Okay.
And the finance commissioner was telling me that we had just stopped this morning a couple of false things asking for money. That, you know, that they had sent in invoices and it wasn't the true one. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she updates us on how the budget's going as far as we're closing and things. And then I had general services yesterday. And so that's the way we do that. Now, in between those meetings, I will talk to them all week long, numerous times. Because there's just nobody comes in here to say, I had a really nice day, let me tell you about it. I mean, that's just, I don't get that. Mm-hmm. My thing is to help them solve whatever their issue is. And then I'll say a lot of times, well, we can do this, but then a lot of times I'll say, we can't do that without talking to the mayor. Mm-hmm. And also I'll say, if the mayor is okay with this, then we have to go to various council members and talk about it with them before we spring it on them. You know, this is all a people process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds like, you have that regular direct engagement with those colleagues, with the different departments. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it goes back to what you said about like how your main role is to be a coordinator, right?
It's a coordinator. It's a coordinator. And then what everybody, you know, we get prone, all of us do, we get tunnel vision, and then we forget to coordinate with somebody else. Like, you know, we had an issue the other day, and one department had decided to do so. Well, they never told IT about it at all. So, you know, our whole IT department said, when do we decide to do this? You know, and so it's just, it's that kind of thing.
Hmm.
Just trying to keep that train on between the rails.
Yeah, and that, and like breaking down those silos, right?
Mm-hmm. And breaking down those silos. And we're very fortunate. We have a lot of good commissioners, and they're very varied. And they're diverse personalities, and the way they do their job is different. Because they have different subject matters. And like Nancy has to be very 1-2-3 because all of her stuff is very, well, it's engineering, and she's an engineer. It's very engineering type things. Mm-hmm. And then we have social services that's certainly not that. So anyway, it works.
It sounds like, yeah, you accommodate a lot of different leadership styles. What would you say, what's your leadership style or leadership philosophy?
My leadership style or philosophy is I don't want to know anything that somebody else knows. Well, and what I mean by that, and that sort of goes back to what I told you about that boss that said over in finance, I don't need to know what she knows, what Nancy knows. I don't need to know the intricacies of building inspection. I don't need to know the intricacies of waste management. I need to know the policy that we're using to formulate those things. And then if I've got technical questions, I know who to call. But I don't have to know exactly how many dumpsters we've got out there.
Yeah.
And those kind of, that's when I say I don't need to know what other people know. My thing is to how to garner all that knowledge into moving forward.
Mm.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah. I think you focus more on making sure things happen, like the policy, and like, you know, you feel like you don't need to be, and it would be impossible to be the top expert in every room.
Yeah, I don't know how to build a building, you know, or fix the AC. I just know it's got to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I do.
Mm. It goes back to that. Like, you're that coordinator, that team builder,
that collaborator. It goes back to that every time.
Mm-hmm. And then do you sort of, does your leadership style, do you feel like it stays consistent with all the roles you're in? Like, I mean, when you work with the mayor or executive people versus working with the city council, like, is it the same style?
Yeah, it's the same style. And I've always gone with the fact of I am pretty just straightforward. I mean, I'll tell you what I think. But what, you know, it's sort of like what you see is what you get. I'm not going to say it behind somebody's back or anything else. And if I disagree, I'm going to tell you I disagree. But I also know that my job is to, unless it's immoral or illegal, is to implement what has been decided. Mm-hmm. So I can express my opinion, but just because my opinion isn't taken, I don't defeat what I'm supposed to do. I mean, I'm very cognizant of that. And that, you know, my job is to implement what the council, for instance, if the mayor and the council have decided that, if the mayor and the council disagree on a particular issue, and the council has final authority on most things according to our charter. And so if the council decides that this is what they're going to do, and they pass a resolution, then that's what I'm doing. You know, there's no discussion. I mean, my job is to follow what has been, you know, what has been put into resolution and law.
Mm-hmm. So you want to respect the act. I mean, what they've decided, like that.
That's right. I have to respect that. I can express my opinion and give them reasons, but once that's over, that's over. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One of a leadership, I guess my own philosophy or style, my three M's, I'll call them, that I developed are being an effective motivator, being a competent manager, and then being a supportive mentor. How do you see those three rules?
Those are great.
Oh, thank you.
Those are great. Absolutely great.
Thank you. Hopefully I'll copyright or trademark them. But yeah, how do you balance those roles of motivator, manager, and mentor? Do you see those as three separate roles or all tied together? Like, how do you
sort of see them all tied together. In things like in here, as far as managing, you know, or motivating, my thing is to make sure that nobody gets real bored in their job, because that can happen real fast. And then when that happens, you just get complacent, and everything just stays on a, you know, on a level plane. Nothing gets better or nothing gets fixed. So my job is to motivate, is to keep repeating over and over again. You know who you work for. You work for the taxpayer, and you got to think like the taxpayer. Do you want your money put this way, or would you like your park not fixed up? Da da da. And then I have to manage. As you said, motivator and manage. I have to manage expectations.
Yes.
And then I think it is very important, especially at my age and the amount of experience I have, one of the biggest things I can contribute to the people I supervise is to be their mentor. And I think I have done that. And I think if you ask people, you will find out that that's probably been my biggest accomplishment. Because these people are going to be your new set of leaders. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, it's sort of monkey see, monkey do. And I need to make them think all the time that their decisions are not made with blinders on. They can't be tunnel vision. Mm-hmm. And they can't let their decisions try to take place of what their bosses, their legislators, have decided.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think it's important that you have such respect and take pride in that mentorship role. Like, how do you use that in the other M's? Like, how do you empower the people who work for you?
By not telling them what to do all the time. Mm-hmm. But when I said I don't want to know everything, I want you to make the decisions. And if they're decisions that you make, I don't need to be involved in all that. I don't want to micromanage you, because your job is to manage. But I want to make sure that those decisions, if you have a tougher decision or one that's not a daily decision and that you need help with, I want you to feel comfortable that you can bring that to me. In fact, I want you to bring it to me. I'm not going to manage you, you know, but I want to lead you and help you make the right decision. I want you to tell. I had one the other day, and it was one where two departments were not agreeing, and they came to me, and I said, I'm not going to do this. I want you all to get back together again, and you discuss what you think is the way to do this, and then let me know what it is, and I'll see if that works. And they came up with a wonderful compromise. But I wasn't going to do that for them, because you never learn if somebody's doing that for you.
Yeah, it sounds like, yeah, like I said, with your main, literal administrative role of being a coordinator, it sounds like you bring that into being a mentor, too. Like,
yeah,
you help them coordinate the plan and thoughts,
mm-hmm.
But respect that autonomy too, right?
Yeah, and I need to provide them with the opportunity to further their knowledge and to advance. Like, for instance, and there's easy little things. Like, you may have a conference that somebody needs to go to that really will help them. Not so much know how to pave a street, but helps them do other things, to deal with people or so. And I think all those things are important.
Yeah.
You got to expand somebody's horizon.
Mm. I like kind of the philosophy, the mantra you mentioned earlier of like, think like the taxpayer. I really I like that. I think, like I said, especially in local government, I mean, people have an idea, or they see, or they should see the direct impact of like their taxes, of what they're paying for, right?
And you know, everybody hates to pay taxes.
Yeah.
And they never have thought, and they think government just throws that money around.
Yeah.
And I understand that. I'm very aware of that. And as I said, we have to do everything that we can to combat that,
mm-hmm.
and to make sure, you know, the mayor is very proud of she wants to keep Lexington cost of living at a steady pace. She don't want to see it. And we're fortunate. We're not one of those cities that see this high rise and this big fall.
Mm-hmm.
We always stay sort of in the middle. Because she always, and other mayors have too, thought that the cost of living here just is paramount, that you've got to keep that under control. And, you know, you let government and various things get spending money right and left, and you can get it out of control. But I don't think that's what happens here. I think this mayor and the other mayors I've worked for, Jim Gray, I work for. They both are very cognizant of that, and so are our councils. Our council is. They're not there to throw money.
Mm-hmm.
They're there to solve problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's awesome to have them. I mean, to have you and to have them as such great exemplary leaders doing
they're,
that here.
They're really very good. They're all very good, and they're real diverse. So you know, you've got just all kinds of ideas.
Yeah.
And you got to have 8 votes to get an idea into law. So they all sort of get to do it somewhere along the line.
Yeah, yeah. I appreciate you answering all those questions about your journey and about leadership development. Now I kind of want to ask, this part of the interview, ask some of my local global questions and then some of my fun questions.
Okay.
So what advice do you have for people who hope to become leaders, especially those who hope to run a city or run a major organization?
Well, I think you've got to learn from other people who have been in those jobs. And then you have to craft your own philosophy and your own way of doing things. I mean, I don't think that you can. I think that I've had so many wonderful bosses. I mean, I've just been so fortunate in that. But I've never like mimicked one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried to take what I thought was the best from each one. I think that makes you a really good leader.
Yeah.
And I think the best thing a leader can do is know how to listen to their people and also know who to hire. I mean, you're only as good as the people that surround you. You know, you can be fantastic yourself, but if you're not, don't have the horses with you, you're not going to go anywhere.
Yeah. I like the idea of like, yeah, crafting your own philosophy by kind of like pulling best ideas.
Yeah, you pull your best idea. I had one when I was at KET, my boss there was wonderful, and she was the kind that just, you would throw ideas, and it was a creative environment. So you just threw ideas against the wall. You
mm-hmm.
know, I mean, there were all kinds of crazy ideas. And I was in the finance part of it, and I said, we can't do this stuff. This is just nuts, you know, da, da, da. Which her idea was, it worked perfectly there. You know, you just throw these creative ideas up and see what sticks.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I worked for Crit Llewellyn in the auditor's office, and that's not what an auditor does. You don't throw up ideas and see what sticks. And so it's just all kinds of you know, various ways.
Yeah, I really love that. So one of my favorite shows is The West Wing.
I love The West Wing.
Yes, yes. It reminds me of the episode where President Bartlet, a PhD like yourself, where he's meeting with this economic council, and they're all, you know, they're all just throwing different ideas. Oh, the recession's going to happen, like lower interest rates, lower taxes, increased spending. And when they ask the president what to do, he's like, yeah, honestly, I just kind of pull a little bit from everybody. He's like, I just like do a little bit of everything. Like,
that's exactly right. So.
Yeah, happy, awesome. Happy to have a fellow West Wing fan.
Oh, yeah, I love the West Wing.
See, I've rewatched it so many times. And then what advice do you have for leaders from, you know, individuals or movements or organizations who want to put Kentucky on the global map to show the world what Kentucky, what we have to offer, and what Lexington has to offer as well?
Well, I think you have to, first of all, believe in what you're doing. I think you have to believe in Lexington. You have to believe in Kentucky. You have to realize that, you know, especially when I grew up, so many people, and I think it's really improving, talking about Kentucky on a global matter, you know, so many people just thought Kentucky was the backwoods. Mm-hmm. You know, I went to school out of state, and I remember everybody thinking, oh my God, you know, somebody from Kentucky. And because they just thought it was really backwoods. Well, it's not. And it never has been. And I think you have to believe in that. And you have to really sell that. Mm-hmm. And I think the governor and the legislature that we have right now have been marvelous at doing that. You know, and like Visit Lex, I've been on that board. My deputy Glenn is on that board now. They just strive all the time to really sell Lexington. And they, you know, they don't do the state, but they do Lexington. And the mayor does too, and so does the council. I think you have to know what's good and sell what's good, and not worry so much about the other stuff.
Mm, that makes a lot of sense. And with this being, you know, the 250th anniversary of our great city, what have you been doing to celebrate that anniversary?
I've been trying to go to some of these things the mayor has put on. I told her the other day, I said, you wear a girl out and for all of it. But basically, she had started this 2 or 3 years ago. About, and, you know, when she said this, I thought, 250th? You know, it didn't click with me at all, you know, the 250th. But this has been a real thing with her. She really has been so proud of this 250th anniversary, and that we've all sort of gotten into it. So we've gone to a lot of the stuff and helped plan a lot of the stuff. And so it's been, I think it was the writer's one that I went to over at the theater, Kentucky Theater, and all of a sudden I thought, well, they won't be right here. My heavens, the place was absolutely full. And I think it's so interesting because these varied activities, you just see how much, you really see why there's chocolate and vanilla ice cream. Everybody has, they like different things. And I think it's been very eclectic and very good.
Mm-hmm.
And I've enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's a lot less. I mean, so many amazing. I mean, it's already such an amazing city, but yeah, seeing all the anniversary stuff happening this year is really highlighting all that.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
How do you reflect on global leadership in your role, and particularly, you know, how does what's happening in the world affect you as a leader here in Kentucky?
Well, our reflection as far as global is concerned has been we have a big immigrant population. You know, we have our commission. We have Global Lex, is what that's called. We are very cognizant of our diverse population. We're very cognizant of the fact that they all don't speak English. So we just did our website again, and we have all these languages that will translate into the web. The website's really good. It will accommodate all kinds of languages. And we've done a lot as far as to recognize all of that and realize that we need to be welcoming and that we need to make sure that people understand things. So that's why the Global Lex was created, and then while we redone our website to be sure that we, you know, can people can understand what we're doing. They have plenty of things. And then on a national level, what we have to watch is we're watching right now our programs to see if we will take any cuts or not, you know, in the budget.
Okay.
So that's been our big thing, and we don't know yet. So we're just preparing in case we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's amazing to hear about. Thinking about the diverse population we have here in Global Lex, I mean, I think that really showcases, I mean, one, other states in our union, what Kentucky's offering, but also the world, what we're,
yeah,
like, how
yeah,
we're thinking
yeah.
about that.
And so, and then the mayor has been so involved in the sister cities. Have you ever, in, you know, the sister cities have, they're located down on the first floor, the second, the building right next to it. And that is, we have these sister cities, I can't remember if we have 7 or 9 or what, all over the world. And that we visit them, and they visit us, and they send exchange students here. And it's really, I mean, it's really quite fabulous, because it's real, it really gives people an eye-opening experience to see how different places are, but yet how similar places are. And, you know, people have the same issues, whether you, whatever language you speak. Or so, but there's been a lot of concentration there.
Yeah, it's good.
And our council is very, very receptive and open. Well, you can see this diversity on it. It's very, very receptive and open to understanding and appreciating differences.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been, and especially, I mean, the council this year, I think, is historically in Kentucky and probably in the nation, one of the most diverse city councils.
Oh, it is. It's really diverse. And you know, So and that helps. I think it just helps people realize that it's like with us when we do our hiring. You know, we have diverse panels that sit on our hiring, because otherwise, you're very prone, no matter how much you feel in your heart, you like to hire people like yourself. You're
yeah,
just drawn to that.
Yeah.
You're more comfortable. You're just, you know, you just do it by nature.
Mm-hmm.
And we tell our employees, you don't have to hire X or Y or Z, you just have to be able to where various people can interview and you can get perspectives so that it can be a collective decision. I don't know how I got off on that, but anyway.
Yeah, that's awesome. What are some important leadership lessons you've gleaned from different sources? We'll start with, like, books and readings. Are there any many major books you'd look up to for leadership lessons?
No, I really haven't gotten, mine's been more just really on the ground.
Yeah.
So I haven't really done that much.
From that direct interaction,
uh-huh,
direct experience?
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess any leadership lessons you'd pull from, like, movies or TV or any pop culture?
Well, I'm like the West Wing. And I think watching some of that has been just absolutely fascinating.
Yeah.
But nothing in particular stands out.
And who's your favorite character on the West Wing?
Well, I think the president was my favorite character. And then I also did like, what's her name? Allison
Janney?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She's so diverse. I've seen her in all sorts of things.
Yeah.
And what was his name again, the president's name?
Jed Bartlett. Martin Sheen, the actor.
Martin Sheen, yeah.
Yeah, great actor. But yeah,
your favorite?
I think also the president.
Uh-huh.
I looked up to him a lot as just a great, honest leader. I mean,
now his chief of staff was good too.
Oh yeah, Leo. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And honestly, it depends on the episode. Like, every episode, like, you know what? That's my favorite. You know, oh no, Josh is my favorite. No, Toby's my favorite. Like,
I know it. I love those. I love all those reruns and stuff.
Yeah.
I think it's really fun to watch that. And then I'm a great lover of The Big Bang Theory too.
Oh yeah.
Is it? Anyway.
Those are, yeah, great sources for leadership.
I had a dog I named Sheldon once.
That's awesome. Those are great, great shows. And then, are there any leadership role models you'll look up to?
Of role models? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that I've had really great bosses, as I keep saying all the time. And these aren't like national role models, but just things that really I can feel and touch and learn from. And Jenny Fox was my role model at KET. She was the director of KET. Crit Llewellyn was she has had all kinds of state positions, and she was the state auditor when I worked there. She was absolutely fantastic. I also recall the two mayors that I've worked over for here, Jim Gray and Mayor Gorton, both as role models. And they're two entirely different type role models. But all of those have been people who've really influenced my life, career life.
Mm-hmm. I mean, great collection of diverse Kentuckians. And really,
mm-hmm,
that's awesome,
mm-hmm,
to work with them.
So they've been wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And my last question, are there any global leaders you look up to that inspire you?
Well, I think that there are numerous ones, but I mean, just as a, this is probably one that would not be in the, I always thought John McCain was the most outstanding man, and the fact that he was such a good leader and senator and did what he did to sit in that prison for 5 years or whatever it was, and was just, I just always thought he was a pretty wonderful person.
Definitely.
I mean, totally served his country and in horrible times, and then in a national capacity also.
He's definitely an amazing, inspirational person to look up to, for sure.
And I'm sure there's numerous ones I could go through, but that's just sort of always been one of them.
But yeah, C.A.O. Hamilton, thank you so much for taking the time
for
this. It's been great getting that. I mean, I've heard so much of like, oh man, you're like how you're leading the city. You're like the most powerful person in the city.
No. And one thing, I don't go to, are we still on there?
Do you want me to turn it off?
No, I'm fine.
Okay.
I don't go with all the ribbon cutting stuff. You know, that's another thing. I do more behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And like my staff, there was one today, I wanted them to do that. And commissioners to do that and be able to enjoy that kind of thing. I've done that before. I've cut a lot of ribbons. So I don't want to do that again. So I just as soon be behind those scenes as in front.
I think that's a noble example of leadership, like a lot of the West Wing characters, of course.
Yeah.
You don't always see the president doing everything.
Yeah,
so.
That's right. And sometimes it's just better not to be out too front.
I think that shows a good example of your, you're dedicated more so to the work, but also you said when you have your staff or others do it, it kind of empowers them in a way too.
That's right.
Said earlier.
That's right. And I also learned a lesson a long time ago too, and this is not really pertinent, is that to ribbon cuttings, but you do your best job when you don't get absorbed in it. You know, I mean, when you work and you have nothing else besides that work, you just lose all focus. Everything, you can't put things in perspective. You know, you can't be absorbed. You've got to have another life. And then it's what everybody calls work balance.
Yeah.
It's real important.
Definitely. But yes, C.A.O. Hamilton, thank you again for taking the time for this.
I appreciate it. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Of course, thank you.
That concludes my episode with Sally Hamilton, one of Kentucky's most experienced public officials. I loved hearing how she makes our city of Lexington one of the strongest and most diverse cities in our Commonwealth, and how she makes sure that she offers a great lived experience for everybody here. It was also great to hear how she has gleaned so much from the other amazing policymakers that she's worked with across so many different bodies of government. And at the end, I enjoyed talking about The West Wing, one of our shared favorite TV shows. My next episode will be released in August, and it will feature Mindy Haas, the executive director of the Jewish Federation of the Bluegrass. Remember to live local and think global, fellow changemakers.